every seventh year we're supposed to observe Shemitah, and every 50th year we're supposed to observe Yovel. Exactly what does that mean, every 50th year? So there is a machlokes hatanoim. The Chachamim are of the opinion that you count the units of 50, 50, 50, 50. The first 49 years, every seventh year is Shemitah. Then after the 49th year, there's another year, a blank year, the 50th year, which doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. So you count 50, 50, 50, 50. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion you count 7, 7, the Yovel Void. And the Yovel year is not a blank year. So what exactly is the Yovel year? So that's a further dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi within Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. According to the Bavli, you count 7, 7, the Yovel Void. And then you're going to have the 49th year is going to be Shemitah. And the first year of the next Shemitah cycle will be Yovel. Then you count again another 49 years. The 49th year will be the 7th Shemitah of that next time. And the 50th year will be the first year of the next Shemitah cycle will be the Yerushalmi presents it that according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you have two concurrent cycles that are running. You have 7, 7, 7, 7, the Yerushalmi, and then you have 50, 50, 50. 50 the Yom Avoid. So the first Yovel in the history of the world was the year immediately following Shemitah. The second Yovel in the world was 2 years after Shemitah. The third Yovel will be 3 years after Shemitah. After seven cycles, the Yovel will correspond to the Shemitah year. It won't be a different year. Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz writes like that in his Sefer HaChoshen Mishpat. It's known as the Tumen, Yom HaTumen. I write him say, what is he off his mind? Where did he get such a crazy idea? So later, one point out, he forgot to mention that it's on the Yerushalmi. Again, it's an Eibishitz, it's the Yerushalmi also, he forgot to mention. Which is the accepted opinion? So the Pashto says that the accepted opinion is the Chachamim's view, that the Yovel is a blank year. You always count 50-50. The first 49 years are 7-7-7. And then the Yovel year is a blank year, doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. There is, however, a problem. It goes as follows. The Gemara says at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, they no longer observe Yovel, because in order to observe Yovel, the Pasuk says, "Ukros m'dror bo'aretz l'chol yoshvel." What happens during the Yovel year? You have to observe Avodas HaKarka, you're not allowed to do work on the farm in Eretz Yisrael, the same as Shemitah. There seems to be a machlokes HaTanan where the Shemitah Sofim applies during Shnas HaYovel. Tosfos points out, Taisus and Rashan says that we assume that Shemitah Sofim does not apply in Yovel. Shemitah Sofim, that the Chol is canceled, that's only a Shnas HaShemitah. That din is not carried over to Yovel. But then in Yovel you have additional dinim that day. But there he goes free, and whoever has his day Achuzah, whoever has his day Mikneh, if I sold my field at Eretz Yisrael, I get it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So the Pasuk says regarding setting free the Avodim Ivrim, across and draw Ba'aretz L'chol Yashvel. That's in America, that's a very crucial pasuk. That pasuk appears on the Liberty Bell sitting in Philadelphia. And thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So the Liberty Bell was commissioned to be made by the Jews of the state of Pennsylvania. So they decided which pasuk they wanted, so they made it. And then it was adopted as the symbol of liberty for all the 13 colonies. So that pasuk is important in the Gemara. In the end of Erech, and the Gemara says, you see, it's not pasuk, across and dror ba'aretz l'chol yashveho, you set free there, but Ivri, what does it mean, l'chol yashveho? So the Gemara understands in the end of Erechem, this man should call yashveho aleho. After, towards the end of the Bais Rishon, when you already had the beginning of the Golus of some of the Shvatim, they no longer had kol yashveho aleho, so the Mitzvah Yovel was no longer observed. So the Gemara says, despite the fact that Yovel was not observed, they were still counting the Yovel year as a blank year. They didn't start counting 7-7-7. You're not going to have any Yovel. No, the Gemara said they still counted 50-50. Manu Yovel is l'kadosh Shmitin. They counted the Yovel as a blank year in order to push off the next Shmita year. That the 50th year was counted as a blank year, even though none of the mitzvahs were observed, but it pushed off the observance of the next Shmita. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's of course because the Gemara is assuming that din is like the Chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda are of the opinion that you count 50-50. The Yovel year is a blank year. It doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle at all. Now, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara says, if you want to know what year you're holding by, whether any Ketavshin Samachesi, I don't know whether this is a Shemitah year or not. So the Gemara says you count from the, you know how many years it is since the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara says you count 7, 7, 7, 7 Liyoy Mavoyes, and we know that the year that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was Matzoi Shviz. It was the year following the Shnas HaShemitah. It was year number one in the Shemitah cycle. So if you know when the Gemara is talking, the Tanaim are talking soon after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So if you know what year the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in, and now it's Matzoi Shviz, that was the year after Shemitah, so count from there, 7, 7 Liyoy Mavoyes. So how did it all of a sudden become 7, 7 Liyoy Mavoyes? Unless the Gemara is saying that we don't paskin like the Chachamim, we paskin like Reb Yudin. So that's what some seem to assume. Yes, the Gemara says he counts, that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first paragraph. The Gemara says he counts 7, 7 since the time of the Churban by Yishenim. Either the Gemara sounds like it's saying the Din is like Reb Yudin. It's hard to understand. So the Rambam quotes the Goinim, who say that even though Bisman Bayis Rishon, towards the end of the Bayis Rishon, the Chachamim counted the Yovel, they kept on counting the years. And Mono Yovel is the Kaddish Shemitah, and they counted the Yovel as a blank year in order to push off the observance of the next Shemitah, that you don't count 7, 7, but after the Churban by Sheni, for some mysterious reason, you just count 7, 7. Even the Chachamim, the Rav Yudah, would agree to Rav Yudah that you count 7, 7. So the Rambam says he really doesn't understand it. He thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that today we should really count 50-50-50-50, and the Shemitah year should always be pushed off after the 50th year should be a blank year, and you should push off the Shemitah year. So he says, but what can I do? That's what the Goyim write. And since that was the tradition, the Goyim Eretz Yisrael who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they observed the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, so the Rambam writes that tradition plays a strong role in Psak Halacha. So since that is the tradition, that is the Masorah, so we have to follow the Psak HaGoyim. The Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. And he says, no, you should follow the Rambam. So Reshi said, to his recollection, this is the only place where there's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam says, you should not pass like the Rambam. The Rambam thinks that the Goyim are wrong, but he gives in. He says, the Goyim live there, so we have to follow the Goyim. Don't follow what I say. Then the Ravid is Masig, no. The Ravid passes like the Rambam, and the Rambam passes against the Rambam. It's a very unusual case. So the common practice, it says on all the calendars, you get a calendar that says, Tavshin Samaches is a Shnat HaShemitah Kifi Kabbalah HaGonim. That's according to the Gonim, not according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, you got to keep on throwing in, every 50th year you have to throw in a blank year and push off all the Shemitahs.
We don't know when, after which Shemitah year to throw in.
They would have to keep the calculation from the whole Bayis Sheni. You have to figure out when were the Yovelis observed during Bayis Sheni and keep on counting. It's possible to do it theoretically. We're not so sure how long the Bayis Sheni lasted. The Gemara makes all the calculations based on the assumption that the Bayis Sheni only lasted 10 years longer than the Bayis Rishon, 420 years, as opposed to the Bayis Rishon that lasted 410 years. In all the Goyish history books, it says the Bayis Sheni lasted way more, 150 years longer than 420 years. It was actually way longer than that. So we're not sure exactly what's doing over here. So the Baal HaMor, in his commentary on the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, writes, we all know that the Gemara is wrong, that the history books say that all of these Goyish kings, the Gemara says it was all the same king, and he had 10 different names. So the Baal HaMor says, but in all the Goyish history books, these are different kings. They lived one after the other after the other. So the Bayis Sheni was much longer than what the Gemara said. And the Ravid, who learned Becharusa with the Baal HaMor, has Hatzogus on the Baal HaMor. He says, Apikera, how can you say it against the Gemara? The Gemara is right, and the history books are wrong. So that's an ongoing debate. In recent years, the Chazanish holds that the Gemara is right, and the history books are wrong. And Adi Gdolim held that the history books are right, and the Gemara is wrong. Rabbi Schwab in the neighborhood published an essay years ago. He thinks not that the Gemara is wrong. The Gemara, the rabbis and the Talmud wanted to hide the true length of the period of the Second Temple in order that people shouldn't be able to figure out when Mashiach is going to come. He says the Chachmei HaGemara knew that the Bayis Sheni was way longer, but they were hiding the truth. Whatever. So it's a problem. So if you want to really follow the Rambam, like the writer thinks we should follow the Rambam, and that we should count units of 50-50-50-50, not count 7-7 the Yom HaVoyes without throwing in a 50th year. So you're going to have to go back to the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, when you started counting Yovelus all over again, and then figure out how long did the Bayis Sheni last, and how many years is it since the Bayis Sheni was carved. It's going to be quite a headache, yeah. There's another question. Tosfos has two interpretations on that passage in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud. When the Gemara says the year that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was Motzoi Shviyas. It was the year following Shemitah. So Tosfos has two pshat, and what does that mean? It means, when was Tisha B'Av, her first Tisha B'Av, by Sheni? Probably July, August, middle of the summer, sometime. Middle of the summer. So it means that Tisha B'Av was Motzoi Shviyas, that was year number one in the cycle of Shemitah, that it began the Rosh Hashanah before, and this is Tisha B'Av, this is ending the year of Motzoi Shviyas, in another month and a half, when it's all is over, and then it's going to be Elul, and then it's going to be Tishrei, that's going to be year number two in the cycle. Well, no, the other opinion of Tosfos is no, that means the year that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was the Shemitah year. But when the Goyim came and they burned out the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just in 2 hours, it took weeks and weeks and weeks. So when all the flames went out, it was ready after Sukkot. So that was Motzoi Shviyas. But the Tisha B'Av of the destruction of the Bai Sheni, that was really a Shemitah year. That wasn't, the next year was Motzoi Shviyas. So Tosfos has two pshatim, so we're not sure when we're starting to count. You have to figure out when was Tisha B'Av. When was the Second Temple really destroyed? You got to look in a good history book. Which year was the Second Temple destroyed? And then you're not going to be sure whether that year was Shviyas or that year was Motzoi Shviyas. Because the two pshatim in the Gemara. So we follow the tradition of the Gaonim, that they were keeping track, and they say that that this year, Tavshin Samaches, is a Shemitah year, based on the assumption you just keep counting 7, 7, 7, 7 Leon Leva. What's the explanation? Why should it be that Bizman Abayis is one way and Bizman Achurban is another way? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam one very easy, famous explanation. Meshech Chochmah has a Kabbalistic explanation. Whatever it is, that's what we follow. We follow that position. The Shaila is whether... So we know all about Shemitah, we know all about Yovel. Fine. When you read in Chumash and Parshas Bahar, so the Torah says every 70 year of Shemitah, and then you observe Yovel, and there's a condition, you only observe Yovel if you have Kol Yoshveh HaLeom. Yeah. If you have such a big Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanoim in the Sifra, and that part you have a Machloikas, regarding this din, that you count 7 years and every 70 year of Shemitah, and then the 7 Shemitahs lead up to Yovel, is that a condition in the observance of Shemitah? That the obligation to observe Shemitah min HaTorah only applies if you know in advance that it looks like it's going to lead up to a Yovel. But if I know in advance, it can't possibly lead up to Yovel. I don't have Kol Yoshveh HaLeil. All the Jews live in Chutzlort. You don't have Kol Yoshveh HaLeil. So maybe the whole observance of Shemitah is only be the Rabbanim. So that's a Machlekes Satanam, because in Parshas Bahar, the beginning of Bahar, Shemitah is a separate paragraph, a Parsha, and then Yovel is a separate Parsha. So that's a Machlekes. How do we paskin? So the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan, the Mishnah has certain kulas, certain leniencies regarding Shnas HaShemitah. And the Gemara says the kulas are based on the assumption that Shviyas Bizman Hazeh is Lav Deraisa. Why Shviyas Bizman Hazeh Lav Deraisa? The Rashi quotes this Machlekes Satanoim from the Sifra, where the Shemitah is only Deraisa if you think it looks like it's going to lead up to Yovel, or even if it's not going to lead up. So we paskin like that opinion, like Rebbe, like the minority opinion. It's only Shemitah is only observed Min HaTorah, it's going to lead up to Yovel. If you don't have Kol Yoshveh now, the whole observance of Shemitah to begin with is only the Rabban. Same thing in the middle of Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara talks about Prusbul. So there's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, how to read the Maskanas HaGemara. The Rambam reads this simple reading of the Gemara that the Hillel's leniency, that if you make a Prusbul, you can still collect the debt even after Shemitah comes to a close. That the institution of Prusbul only works when Shemitah is only Derabbanan. When Shemitah would be Deraisa, when Mashiach comes, Shemitah is going to be Deraisa, Prusbul is not going to work. And the Rabbah disagrees. He says, no, that's what Abayi says in the Gemara, but Rabbah disagrees, and Rabbah holds Hefker Bez Nehefker. The Prusbul even would work when Shemitah would be a Din Deraisa. So the Rambam learned a different shot, that Rabbah is not disagreeing, Rabbah is going on something else. So the Rambam read in that Gemara. The Gemara says this, that Hillel instituted Prusbul, and Prusbul only works if Shemitah is only the Rabbanan. We assume that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, the Rabbanan, sometime in the future will become the right. Why Shemitah only the Rabbanan? So it's based again on Rebbe's sheet in the Torah's Kohanim. Shemitah is only the right if it looks like it's going to lead, if it looks in advance that it's going to lead up to Yovel. If you lack in Kol Yoshveh HaLeil, it's not going to lead up to Yovel. So the Shemitah is only the Rabbanan. So that's how most of the poskim assume. That the Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanan because it's only the right if it's going to lead up to Yovel. And it can't lead up to Yovel because you're lacking Kol Yoshveh HaLeil. Because the Mishnah in one place has a comment on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Shemitah applies Bein b'snei abayis, bein shaloi b'snei abayis. So the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam to mean that the Shemitah b'zman hazeh zeraisa, the shaloi b'zman abayis. The Shemitah b'zman hazeh zeraisa. How does it correspond to all the other Rambams? But the Rambam quotes all the Gemaras, the second daf in Moikot and daf Beis, daf Gimel, and then the Gemara in Gittin and daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara said Prusbos only works b'zman hazeh, because Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanon. The Gemara says that Avodah Sakarka, the only Avodah Sakarka is only the Rabbanon, the first Mishnah in Moikot. So it's a teller. How's the Kesef Mishnah going to get out of it? In the Chulis of the Kesef Mishnah, the Afkas Rechel, he assumes, like everybody assumes, that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is love their rights. That's how most of the poskim assume that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is love their rights. It's only the Rabbanon. It's interesting, when the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael first began, the end of the 1800s, the early 1900s, so they started using again the Hetem Mechira. We'll get to it later to explain. So one of the Rabbanim, one of the Chassidish Rebbe, the Kotzke Rebbe, publicized the Kol Kore against those Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael who were relying on the Hetem Mechira. So he said that the Tanisa Deraisa, Shemitah is Deraisa, and they're violating and Din Deraisa. And Shemitah is referred to as Shabbos, Shabbos HaOretz. And just like a Mechal Shabbos, Befehes is Dina Ka'akum. So those farmers who violate Shemitah, they rely on the Hetem Mechira, that Dina Ka'akum, and you can't be mitzarif into a minion, and a whole Kol Kore, a whole body. So the Mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe, Morgenstern, his name is Morgenstern. So the Morgensterns today, they're descendants from Kotzke Rebbe. I don't know, Morgenstern Dormitory, I don't know if that was donated by the Kotzke Rebbe, maybe a relative. So Rabbi Yosef Engel was a Mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe. So he wrote him a letter in disagreement with everything that he wrote in his Kol Kore. So the letter, he published his letter, an open letter to the Kotzke Rebbe. It's 100 pages long, his letter. So he disagrees with every line that he says. So he said, what do you mean Shemitah b'zman hazeh zeraisa? So come on, you know and I know, we all know that Shemitah is love deraisa. And he writes, I'm prepared to take a shvuah deraisa on the Sefer Torah that the Kesef Mishnah is wrong. Kesef Mishnah wrote in one place on the Rambam that Shemitah is nahag is bein b'snei abayis, bein shle b'snei abayis. What are you talking about? That doesn't mean b'zman hazeh. It means when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Before Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, Shemitah was deraisa. But in the days of Yeshua b'nun. But it doesn't mean after the Churban abayis, there were reasons why Shemitah is loved their rights. So, Rav HaPoskim, traditionally it was always assumed that Rav HaPoskim held that Shemitah is loved their love their rights. And now they're a revisionist, or rewriting history. So they're rewriting this issue also. So the people in Bnei Brak want to be machmad, everything is Shviyas. They don't hold from anything, any heter. So they're rewriting that Rav HaPoskim always held that Shemitah is loved their rights. It's just not true. If you look through this form that they're quoting, all the major poskim, all the major rishonim held that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is lav derais. And they said that the Beis Yosef in the 1500s, they all assumed that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is lav derais. You can't rewrite that. He may hold not so, but the Rav HaPoskim clearly, the Rav of the major poskim held that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is lav derais. So the question is, okay, so it's lav derais, and so does the Rabban. So you have to observe the Rabban. So the problem is that for many generations, many centuries, the Jews, the religious Jews in Chutzlot, never wrote a prusbel. They would lend money to other people. They never bothered to write a prusbel. They always collected the money after Shemitah came to a close, and ain't paid to pay mitzvah. There's supposed to be a whole ceremony when the Loiber comes to pay the money back. After the same Mishamitani, he's supposed to say Afal Pichein. They never went through this whole ceremony. They just ignored the Shemitah. So that question is raised in Choshen Mishpat. This is separate Simen Samach Zayin, as all the laws are prusbel. So the Ramah quotes this in the Maharik, that for many generations, for a few centuries, the Jews never bothered to make a prusbel. So the Shaila is, why? What's going on? So a minority group of Rishonim said, you see, in the days of the Amoraim, they used to have a prusbel. So Amoraim, we're the same as the Amoraim, nothing changed. So they say, no, it changed. Shemitah b'zman hazeh is not even the Rabbanon. You don't even have to make a proof. It doesn't exist at all. How can it be? Shemitah, it's only the seventh year if there's the Bezin who's declaring it as such. You see, in order for Yovel to be the 50th year, the Pasuk says, Safarta lucha sheva shapsa shanim, sheva shanim sheva pamim, ba'yir lucha sheva shapsa shanim, teisha ba'boim shanim, it says, v'safarta lucha. So the Rambam and the Ramban and Tosfos, they all say b'safar t'lucha based on the Torah's Kahana. That's a din on the Bez Nagadol. Bez Nagadol has to count. It doesn't happen by itself. Yovel doesn't happen by itself. What about Shemitah? Does Shemitah happen by itself automatically? The 70, like Shabbos. Like Shabbos happens automatically. Yontif doesn't happen automatically. Bezna has to determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Memela will determine when Yontif is. But Shabbos happens automatically. So maybe Shemitah happens automatically. So these Rishonim, a minority group of Rishonim, claim Shemitah does not happen automatically either. You have to have a Bezna counting. So Bezman, that they had a Bezna Godel counting, then Shemitah would sometimes be their Raita, sometimes be the Rabbana. Okay, if you don't have Kol Yeshua Aleh, Shemitah will be the Rabbana. Bizman, that there's no Bezna Godel, but at least there is a central rabbinic group in Eretz Yisrael, so the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael representing all of Kol Yisrael, but counting, so then Shemitah was the Rabbana. And after the days of the later Amoraim, when there wasn't even any rabbinic group in Eretz Yisrael, there was no Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael counting, so Shemitah was only a Midas Chasidus. It's not even a Din Midas Rabbanim. That's what a major group, a minority group, but a group of Rishonim held like that. The Shemitah Bezban Hazeh is not even the Rabbanim. But then there are more rights in Chosh Mishpat that it's not right to follow that practice. The more correct practice should be that Shemitah Bezban Hazeh is the Rabbanim, and therefore you should go to the bother of making a proof. So that's the way it's generally assumed. Shemitah Bezban Hazeh is the Rabbanim, and it's not just a Midas Chasidus. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his long letter that he wrote to his Machutna Kotzke Rebbe, so he includes also those Rishonim who say like this, that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is not even the Rabbanon, and he gives you a fascinating mocker. He says there's a Targum Yonison Ben Uzio on the Pasuk, Shamot Kaba Mashe Yadashi Asher Sveyehu, that he goes to Sveyehu Sochiv, Kikora Shemitah Lashem. How do you translate Kikora Shemitah Lashem? So the Targum Yonison in that Pasuk says Kikora Shemitah because the Bezden has declared the year as a Shnas HaShmita. So it sounds from this Targum Yonison that he holds like these Rishonim. We're not sure exactly who wrote the Targum Yonison. It was not written by Yonison Ben Uzio. That's all we know. It was written by somebody else. The Gemara says the Farish and the Gili. Yonison Ben Uzio only wrote on Novi. He didn't write on Chumash. So it's usually assumed that some Targum Yerushalmi. They wrote on Tof Yud. And then with Fanech, they wrote the statements incorrectly. Someone thought that it meant Targum Yonison, it meant Targum Yerushalmi. Okay. So whoever it is, seems to agree with these Rishonim that Shemitah doesn't happen by itself, you gotta have a Bezman count. But we don't follow that opinion. We assume that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is the Rabbanon, it's not just the Midas Chasidus, and you have to make a Prusmal. So now, in the 1500s, there were a couple of Jewish farmers, not too many. In fact, one of the Acharonim writes in one of the Tshuva Svarim, that there was a pitgam amami, there was a common expression that fruits and vegetables only grow on the farm that belongs to a non-Jew. The Jews were busy writing Beis Yosef and Luchodoidi and Kabbalah Svarim. They were sitting in Tzfat waiting for Mashiach. There were very few Jewish farmers at that time. And they have in this farm, as if a Jew would own a farm, nothing would grow. There were a couple of Jewish farmers and things were growing, but it was hardly any. So they needed a Hetzer Mechira. They had a problem. So in this early 1600s, the Sephardic Gedolim, there were only Sephardic Gedolim, there were no Ashkenazim at that time. Some of the Sephardic Gedolim came up with this Einfall that if you sell the field to a non-Jew, so maybe that takes off the whole din of Shemitah, and then you can have the Avodah Sakarka continue to do business as usual. For many years, there were no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael farming, so the issue didn't resurface until the late 1800s. When they sent a group of Jews, a minion of Jews came from Lithuania, from religious Shomer Shabbos. They used to daven every day and learn. So they started a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. It was sponsored by Baron Rothschild, and he was so impressed. I think it was a Tzvi Hirsch scholarship. Came to Baron Rothschild. And he sold them a whole bill of goods. And Rothschild had every day, all day long, there were people pestering him, he should give donations for this, that, and the other thing. Everybody's trying to get money from him. And Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer didn't think he was going to listen. And somehow he did listen. He went along with his idea. He had this cholam, let's send a group of 10 religious balabatim to Eretz Yisrael, start a moshav, and we'll rebuild Eretz Yisrael, and we'll hasten the coming of Mashiach. So he went along with his idea. So he visited the moshav. Baron Rothschild visited Eretz Yisrael. Visited the moshav. He's very impressed. He gave them the permission to use his mother had passed away. He gave them permission to use his mother's name. So it was originally called Maskeret Batya. Now it has a different name. You got it right. So that Moshav started off as a real Shabbos Shabbos, real religious Baal Batim. Now, hardly any of them are Shabbos Shabbos in that Moshav. But originally, that was in the late 1800s, that was a very religious Moshav. So Rabbi Hirsch Kalasha, they went in the middle of the Shemitah cycle, third of the 40 in the Shemitah. Then he lived in Europe. Rabbi Hirsch Kalasha was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivek. He never saw Eretz Yisrael. He never came there. Tirat Zvi was named after him. Kibbutz Tirat Zvi. Because he was one of the big Zionist leaders in Europe. So he wanted to give them the ability to do Avodas HaKark and Shtas HaShmita. So he did the research and he found that in the 1600s they came up with this Hetzem Mechira. So he, with other Rabbanim, worked out this idea of the Hetzem Mechira based on the Gemara Gittin. The Gemara Gittin, the end of Perek HaShaleach, around that, and Zayim Memches, has a Machlekes HaMaroim, and it comes out as a Machlekes HaTanoim, where the Yesh Kinyan and Ochrim and Hafkiya Miyat Trumas Amaisis. If you sell a land to if you sell parts of Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, non-Jew owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Does it have the full Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? It's Chayv and Trumas Amaisis and the whole work. So they say no, you treat it like Chutz Lord. So that seems that may be a totally inaccurate description of what it says in the Gemara. We'll get to that a little later. Rav Chaim said that it never said that in the Gemara. But that's a simple pshat. If you sell a farm to a goy, if a goy owns a farm in Eretz, maybe he should be treated like kutzlar. Maybe he doesn't have any in the midst of his barn. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, ein kinyan anochi b'Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't help. If you sell a farm to a goy, it still has all the dinim of tshumas and maisus, shmita v'yevel, the whole works. That's the maskana. Ein kinyan anochi b'Eretz Yisrael, hafkia liyad tshumas and maisus. But then the Gemara asks a kasha from a mishnah. There's a beferish in mishnah that Surya has to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. Dovin HaMelech was kovit Surya. So the Gemara, the Tanoim had, and it was Mekadosh Surya has a din of Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanoim always had a machlokes regarding the kibush of Surya. Was it kibush yochid as opposed to kibush rab? So many mesichtes, the issue comes up in Baba Basra and Gittin and all over the place. Whether it's kibush yochid shmei kibush or kibush yochid lav shmei kibush. Did Surya have a real bona fide din there, right? So the Eretz Yisrael when Dovin HaMelech was kovishit, or was it only an imitation Eretz Yisrael midirabbanan? So the accepted opinion is that Surya is only Midirabbanan. But bottom line, we treat Surya like Eretz Yisrael is only Midirabbanan. So the Gemara asks, how can you say the halacha is Ein Kinyan Anochi Be'Eretz Yisrael? Afkim Yachumas Amaisis. If you sell a land to a non-Jew, it still has the full status of Eretz Yisrael with all the mitzvahs of Tlis Baretz. But there's a Beferish Mishnah that says that if a Jew has a farm in Surya and he sells it to a non-Jew, the mitzvahs don't apply. The Gemara says, no, Surya is only Midirabbanan. Since Surya is only with the Rabbanim, so there we pass in Yesh Kinyan and Achri Lahavkiya. If a non-Jew buys the farm, then it doesn't have the deal. But within Eretz Yisrael, we would say Ein Kinyan and Achri Be'Eretz Lahavkiya. So in the 1600s, these Gedolei came up with this Einfall, and then it was repeated in the late 1800s, that since Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh is only with the Rabbanim, so if you sell a farm to a non-Jew, so you should treat it like Chutzlar. So we should say Eretz Yisrael B'Zman HaZeh with respect to Shemitah, should be treated like Surya always was, since it's only with the Rabbanim, so the din should be the Yesh Kinyan Lahavkiya Miyad Dine Shmita. Yeah. Not exactly the same. There's room to distinguish. So that's what the Beit HaLevi is not happy with this. Beit HaLevi has tshuvas about this at the beginning of the third chelek, several tshuvas. So he says it's not the same. Surya, the whole Kedusha Torah, is only with the Rabbanim. Eretz Yisrael is talking about an area that has Kedusha Menat Torah. Just that there's a din that Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanim, because you know in advance that Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel. But the observance of Shemitah Be'Eretz Yisrael is more chomer than the observance of Mitzvah Tzlis Baretz and Surya. He thinks that even if you're missing this condition of Kol Yashveh Oleo, Memele, Shemitah is not obligatory, but if he's volunteered, there would be a Mitzvah Kiyumis on the level of their Eretz. So he says, Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha is their Eise. And if you would volunteer to observe Shemitah, the observance would be their Eise. Masheni Ken Surya, the whole thing from day number one, is only Midi Rabbanon. So that was his time. Others had other times. There were many different times. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, had a different time, which is a very Mechudish Dikin time. He thought, originally in the days of Yishur Ben Nun, after they conquered Eretz Yisrael, took Shevesh HaKavshu, then it took Shevesh HaChilku. They divided Eretz Yisrael, took 7 years. So after they divided all of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara just says, Yerushalayim lo nischal kol ha'shvatim. They never divided Yerushalayim. Shalom belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. But the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they divided l'shvatim, v'mishpachas, v'yechidim, and every yachid, kol yachid v'yachid, was makir eschalka. Everybody knew, this is my farm, that's your farm, this is my house, this is his house. Everybody knew his chaylah. So everybody who owns private property has the right to sell it to someone else, except for Yerushalayim belongs to Klal Yisrael, so it's not for sale. Jerusalem is not for sale. Because the Gemara says he can't rent out, if a guy lives in Yerushalayim, he can't rent out, he can't charge rent to use his apartment. The apartment doesn't belong to him, it belongs to Klal Yisrael. He came first, he has the right to live there. But he has no right to charge any rent, and when you want to make a Kinyan Agav, say Makna Metalton and Magav Karka, in Yerushalayim it can't be Makna Metalton and Magav Karka. The Karka doesn't belong to you. Yerushalayim is never in Schalka Leshvatim, it belongs to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yishai Soloveitchik pointed out, based on what Reb Chaim pointed out, that in the beginning, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they had a kibush v'chiluk. In the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there never was a kibush, and there never was a haluka. So who owns Eretz Yisrael? So what do you say? In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Eretz Yisrael belonged to Klal Yisrael. Then they made a haluka, and everything but Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim retains its ownership. Klal Yisrael owns Yerushalayim. That doesn't lend itself to be sold. The rest of it is privately owned, so each individual person has the ability to sell it to whomever he wants. At the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, there's a principle of Kibush Mocham. Kibush Mocham is a sugya in Gittin also, that whenever two countries have a war, whether it was a mutter tista, whether the one who started the war did it behet to be, so it doesn't make a difference. Whoever wins the war is kind of all the property of the other country. And the Gemara says, Amen Amoy of Tiharu B'Sichon. How were the Jews allowed to take areas from Amen Amoy? They were warned not to, because Sichon Melech Amori conquered Amen Amoy, so the Jews took it from Sichon, because he was kind of from Amen Amoy. That's the Gemara gets Amen Amoy of Tiharu B'Sichon. So the Gemara says, this principle of Kibush Mocham applies in three cases. If the Jews win a war against the non-Jews win a war against the Jews, or if one non-Jewish nation wins the war against another non-Jewish nation. The Gemara couldn't conceive of a war between two Jews, that the Jews will wage war against each other. One couldn't imagine such a thing. So they only deal with these three possibilities. Amon and Moab had a war with Sichon, and Sichon won the war. So Sichon acquired the ownership. Avraham Avinu had the battle with the four kings, had a battle with the five kings, and the four kings won the war. So they were kind of everything that belonged to the five kings. Then Avraham Avinu waged the war against the four kings, and he won the war. So all the nine cities belonged to him. The four kings with the five kings, all the people, all the property, everything belongs to him. So he just became a multimillionaire. So it says in the pasuk, "Vayitan la ma'isa mikol." First thing you have to give ma'isa k'safim, and then after he gave the ma'isa k'safim, the malchus tzedek melasham. Then he gave everything back to all the people. He said, "I don't want it." He doesn't want the whole thing. But since he was kind of the property of all the five cities, so he felt obligated to give ma'isa k'safim. So that the Jew won a war against the four kings, the non-Jewish kings, and he acquired all the property. Then the Gemara says the reverse. If the non-Jews win the war against the Jews, so they're cutting all the property. Vayish b'men u'shevi, the Gemara says. Vayish b'men u'shevi indicates that in Bamidbar, so it doesn't matter whether the Jews won the war against the non-Jews, non-Jews win the war against the Jews, is the din of Kibush Mocham. So the principle of Kibush Mocham should really have dictated that at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Jews lost the war, so they should lose the ownership of everything, hakol bakol mikol kol, and the Babylonian government should acquire ownership. So we have a pasuk that it's not so. The pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, he promises Yitzchak, and he promises Yaakov that this land will always belong to the Jewish people. So what does it mean? That Eretz Yisrael is the one place, the one thing, and the one place in the whole world that's not subject to this principle of Kibush Mocham. It's an exception to the rule. But the Pashto says the exception to the rule is only Eretz Yisrael will always belong to Klal Yisrael. A guy who owned a farm, who owned a house in the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, he was never given a Haftach. Haftach was given to Avram and repeated to Yitzchak, repeated to Yaakov. Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. So what happened at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon was the Yechidim lost their private ownership and it reverted back to the ownership of Klal Yisrael, like Yerushalayim all along belonged to Klal Yisrael, like before they made the 7 years of Chaluk in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That the Shevish Hakavshim, the Shevish Hachilku, so the before they made the Chalukah to the Shvatim and to the Mishpachas and to the Yechidim, so all of Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Klal Yisrael. After they made the Chalukah, it was privately owned. So at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the private ownership was lost, and everything reverted back to the ownership of Klal Yisrael. Because that we have a Shvuah from the Rebbe Shlomo, you have Avtocha, Krisis Bris. Eretz Yisrael will never, the Jews will never lose their ownership over Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say in halacha, not just in drushes. He said we shouldn't have the attitude that the British gave us Eretz Yisrael in 1948, or the United Nations, or the League of Nations gave Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews from day number one. So the day that Avraham Avinu made the Kenyan, we never lost the ownership, but the Yechidim did lose their ownership. The Yechidim never had this Haftacha. So in the beginning of the Bais Sheni, when the Jews moved back to Eretz Yisrael, so this is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik speaking, based on what Rav Chaim said, all of Eretz Yisrael is like Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Klal Yisrael. There's no private ownership. So just like no one can sell anything in Yerushalayim, so nobody can sell anything in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So it's not that he doesn't hold from the Etzem Mechira, he doesn't hold from the Mechira. What does it help? What do you mean? The Mechira is not Chal. He said the whole Mechira doesn't take effect. That was his time. That's a very problematic time. It's a very difficult time. All the Gemara talks about this man Bais Sheni, and after the Churban Bais Sheni, the Gemara talks about people selling property in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says you can't sell property in Yerushalayim because land is Chalkov Shvatim, as opposed to the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that you can't sell property. So Moshe Soloveitchik says all the Gemara's go on the Bais Rishon period, before the Churban Bais Rishon. It's not true. All the Gemara's go after the Churban Bais Sheni. The Gemara talks about selling land in Eretz Yisrael. It's legitimate, legal, with the one exception of Yerushalayim, you can't sell. So that's very, his time is very problematic time. But others had other times, many different times against the Hesem Mechir. The latest time was that it's Eina Doima, that the Gemara says, Surya, Yesh Kinyan Rocher, the Surya, to cancel all the Dinam of Shemitah, that's called the whole Kedusha of Saharetz of Surya, is a make believe Kedusha with the Rabbana. But in Eretz Yisrael proper, with the Kedusha of Saharetz is the Kedusha of Deraisha, that you would be. If you would volunteer the observance of Shemitah, would be a Kiyum Deraisa. The only thing is that there's a condition in the Chiyuv. In order to be obligated to observe Shemitah, you have to have, that it should be able to lead up to Yovel. And I know it's not going to lead up to Yovel because of the lack of Kol Yisrael there. So that's the sign of that. You don't have any Gemara that says that Yesh Kinyan and Ochri in such a situation. Others had other signers. The Netziv, in his Chuvis, would be prepared to go along with the Hetem Mechir, but he says, the Hetem Mechir is you want to avoid violation of Anisa Derabanan of Shnasa Shemitah. You don't want to violate Shemitah Bezmanah, there's only Derabanan. So in order to avoid violation of Anisa Derabanan, you go and you violate an Aver Deraisa of selling Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. We have a Pasuk in Chumash Loisechonim. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof and Mem Aleph, has three interpretations of Loisechonim, and all three are quoted La'aloch and Yerideya. So one of the three is Loisechonim, La'shita Lem Chanoya Bekarka. You're not allowed to sell any area in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. What do you mean? You're so concerned about Shemitah, which is only the Rabbanon, so you came up with a kula in order to avoid violation of the Rabbanon. Go and you violate an Isa Deraisa, how can it be? So the Paskim said, B'shas Maisa, in the 1600s, how did they ever figure out the Setem Mechir in the 1600s? So they based it on the Sefer Achinuch, on that Pasuk, Lo Yisachonim, quotes from the Ramban, that one is only a violation of Lo Yisachonim, L'sitalem Chanoi Bekark, if he sold to Anochri permanently. I sell a farm in Eretz Yisrael to Anochi, it belongs to him, the Yom Avoid. So they said, they're not going to sell permanently. They only, in the 1600s, they only rented it to the Anochi for 2 years. They rented to the Anochi, the rental began half a year before Shemitah, and it ended half a year after Shemitah. So since you're not really selling, you're only renting, and it's not permanent, but based on the Ramban, they said there's no violation. This is a very shver hetem mechira, to rent to the non-Jew. That was very fluky. In the late 1800s, when they had this Moshav, Maskeret Batya, that was named after Baron Rothschild's mother, that Moshav that was basically organized by Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha. So when he came up with the Hetem Mechira at that time, and he wanted Rav Yitzchak Hanna to sign along, Rav Yitzchak Hanna was the big Pesach at that time, late 1800s. So Yitzchak Hanna never heard of this Hetem Mechira from the 1600s. So they told him it's in the Tshuva Sefer. He said, I want to see it. So they had to borrow it from a library. No one in where he lived in Covenant that it wasn't available. So they borrowed it from a library in Germany, I think, and they sent it to him. When he saw it innovating, when he saw the Tshuva Sefer inside, then he signed along. Then he signed on to the Hetem Mechira. If that's what they made. So at that time when they made the Hetem Mechira, they didn't say we're going to rent to a non-Jew for 2 years. They sold it to the non-Jew, and not a mechira l'zman is only a kinyan per, it's not a kinyan aguf. So they didn't sell it for 2 years. They sold it, and then they're going to make conditions such that it's going to be very difficult for the non-Jew to keep it. So we're going to buy it back, like mechiras chametz. We don't sell the chametz for 10 days. We sell the chametz for the olam v'oid, but we make such conditions that the goy has to pay up the full amount right after Pesach, and if he doesn't, we have the right to buy back. So these are the conditions that they made. They improved the Het Mechiras. So it was developed in the early 1600s, so they improved it many times over, and they keep on improving. Every Shnat HaShmita, the Rabbanut and Eretz keeps on improving the Het Mechira. So many of the Rabbanim said at that time, the reason why there's no violation of Lois Tachanim is not based on the Chinuch to stay in B'Shem HaRamban. They're not just renting it for 2 years. No, they're selling it for own avoid to the non-Jew. But everybody knows the whole thing is only a harama. The non-Jew is doing it l'toivas hayehudim. We're not doing him a favor. The pasuk lo yisachanim has three interpretations. The one interpretation is that we shouldn't lo yisachen be'enechem. One interpretation is you're not allowed to give a matan chinam to the nochri, and you're not supposed to praise the nochri. And even the third interpretation, not to give them chanoi bekarka, means we shouldn't do them a toivah, to let them have an achiza in Eretz Yisrael. But here the goy is doing us a toivah. The goy knows, we get a nice goy, the goy knows that we have a problem, we can't do any avodas hakarka during Shnas HaShmita, so he's doing us a favor by buying the land, and then he's going to sell it back after Shmita is over. So since this is the toivah seinu, it's not the toivah sanachri, so that's what the Abnei Nezer has a tshuva, and he says this based on a marsha and gittin, if I'm not mistaken. He says since the nachri is doing the toivah seinu, so there's no violation of lois hachanim. So what happened was, Rav Tzvi Shkalisha felt responsible for this group of Balabatim that he had sent, basically. Originally, the plan was they're going to send a minion of 10 people who wanted daven tefillah b'tzuz, so they're going to send a minion. And the Baron had his representative standing by the train station who was going to pay for the ticket. So when he came there, I think there were 11. So he said, what do you mean 11? The Baron only agreed to pay for 10 people. So they said they decided they better get 11. What if one guy has a cold? One guy's going to be sick one day. They won't have a minion. So the representative said, very nice. He's approving, so he's going to pay for the tickets for all the 11. So they had this whole group in Eretz Yisrael. They were davening every day, learning every day, working. They were honest people. And then they were sending all of their big shilas back to Europe, to the Rabbanim in Europe, where they came from. Every day they had a shilah on a chicken, a shilah basavah. They can't send all the shilas to Europe. They'll get an answer. It'll take forever. So they started asking shilas to the Badat, to Neda Haredis in Yerushalayim. They were not far from Yerushalayim. After a while, they stopped sending the shilas to Europe, and they sent all the shilas to the Badat. So when it was coming time for Shemitah, so Rav Tzvi Hirshkalisha in Europe was nervous, what's going to be, we're going to leave them, they'll die from starvation. We can't let them observe Shemitah, we have to come up with a hetah. So he tumbled the ganze Welt, all the Rabbanim in Europe had to make a hetah mechir for them. So he got Rav Tzvi to sign on. And those, the Balabatim in Eretz Yisrael, the group of the Balabatim, they were asking for the last couple of years, they asked all the Shabbos today. I said, yes, and what about Zion? When is going to come? What are you going to do when Shnat HaShmita comes? So they told them, no Het Mechir. Don't rely on Het Mechir. So when Tzvi Hirshkalisha worked that all out, and then they said, no, thank you. We asked all the Shabbos down to the Badat. They said, we shouldn't rely on Het Mechir. So it was a big sikhsuch. The Baron was upset. The Baron didn't know the fine points of Halacha over here. So he said, the rabbis in Europe said it's mutter. So why are they not working? What are they, lazy? Why are they not working? He was upset. He's going to have to send more money. So he cut off some of the support that he gave them. They used to have a doctor visit every week. So he said, he's not going to pay for the doctor. He's not going to give them any support. So the Badat said, they're going to take care of them. So they sent out letters to the whole world. Everybody should support the Karen Ashliyas. You give money to the farmers. They didn't collect so much money. I think, did the Tziv send money? How much money did he have? A couple of pennies. What's his name? Rav Shamshon of all here sent money. How much money did he have? He wasn't such a wealthy. The Rabbanim sent money. They got babkas. They didn't get. So when he cut off, when the Baron cut off the doctor, so what did he do? People got sick, and some of the people died. Some of the children died during Shnas HaShmita. And then some of the behemoths died. So by us, it sounds like a joke. So the behemoth died. But if you have no behemoths, you can't do the Avodas HaKarka the next year. So they had a tremendous hefset. They had people. Children died, the behemoths died, it was a big problem. So the next Shemitah, I think they did go for Het Mechir. They went to the Badat. Badat told them go for Het Mechir, either the next Shemitah or the Shemitah after that. The Badat already told them they should go for Het Mechir. But they didn't want to dirty their hands with Het Mechir. They said, go to the Rav in Yaffa. So the Rav in Yaffa was a prominent Rav. What's his name? I forgot. He put out the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon. Naftali heard something like that. He was a prominent Rav. So the Badats didn't want to do it. They said, go to Rav Tali here, he's a Fruma and Erlich Rav, he'll be Masada the Het Mechir of you. After he passed away, and they needed a new rabbi in Yafo, so the one who fell in was Rabbi Cook. So he Yarshan like whoever's the rabbi in the Jewish center, Yarshim's the responsibility for the Manhattan Erev. Because the Erev started over there. Whoever's the rabbi in the Young Israel Flatbush, Yarshim's the responsibility for the Flatbush Erev. So whoever's the rabbi in Yafo, Yarshim's the responsibility for the Het Mechir. So Rabbi Cook fell in. He was chosen as the rabbi. He was the one who invented the Het Mechir. It's not his fault. Het Mechir was invented in the 1600s. The Rabbanim in the late 1800s approved of it. The Badat told the Balabatim not to go for it. Then they thought it's impossible. They won't survive. They're going to die. They're going to die from starvation. They can't. So they told him, go for the Het Mechir, but we don't want to do it. Go to Rav Tolly here. After he passed away, so it fell into the lap of Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, everybody, whenever they made a Het Mechir, everybody was always improving. So Rav Kook writes in his Sefer, Shabbos Ha'aretz, he gives you one of the names of one of the, before he became chief rabbi, he was first the rabbi in Yafo. So then one of the rabbanim in his bezin suggested, maybe the holy Salas Echanim only applies if he sells to a goy who's an Oved Avodah Zarah, or even is not Oved Avodah Zarah, but he's not a Ger Toshav. But if he sells to a Ger Toshav, that's exactly what it means, Ger Toshav. Lo Yeshva Be'artzecha, Pen Yachti Oizchali. But if he's a goy who's Mekabel on himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvah Zinei Noach, then we call him a Ger Toshav. He's not a Ger, he's a Goy Gomer. He's allowed to eat Chaz, he's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Din of Lo Yeshva Be'artzecha, Pen Yachti Oizchali, doesn't apply. So one of the Rabbanim in the Beis Din of Rav Kook made such a suggestion, so he quotes him by name. Maybe instead of selling to a Christian who is outright David Avodah Zarah, maybe they should sell to an Arab who's a Muslim. And we all know that the Muslims are monotheists. So officially they don't violate any of the Shevi Mitzvahs B'nei Chasid. And maybe they have the status of a Ger Toshav. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So the Shaila is like this. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, in the middle of Bava Metzia, the Gemara says, "Ein Ger Toshav Noi Gal Bezman Shayogel Noi." You can only have a Ger Toshav based on Sukkim Mechumim. A whole bunch of dinim that only apply Bezman Shayogel Noi. So you can only have a Ger Toshav if you live in a generation where Yovel is observed. If you live in a generation where there's no Yovel, so there's no institution of Ger Toshav. So you can't have a Ger Toshav Bezman Shayogel Noi. We don't have any Yovel Noi. So a cook with the Dayan on his bezin came up with this suggestion. Maybe that's only if you need a bezin of three Jews to be mekabel the Ger Toshav. The Gemara says, just like you need a bezin of three Jews to be mekabel the Ger Tzedek, who wants to convert to become Jewish, to be observe all the mitzvahs, they need a bezin of three Jews to be mekabel the Ger Toshav. So maybe you only need a bezin if you don't know about the particular non-Jew, whether he wants to observe mitzvahs or not. They need a bezin to determine. What if it's a double you're doing before it's Malakol? Everybody knows that all the Muslims subscribe to all the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So Rav Kook came up with an Ein file, then maybe all the Muslims automatically have a din of Ger Toshav. So that din, Ein Mekablim Ger Toshav, but Mancha Yonah goes on Kabbalah Ger Toshav. And maybe they have automatically a din of Ger Toshav. Yeah, if you're going to say they have a din of Ger Toshav, this is very bad for the Jews, because you need a Shabbos Goy. Although you always wonder, why did God create the non-Jews? Why didn't he just be a serious? You need a Shabbos Goy. You have to have a goy to sell your chametz. You have to have some goyim around. So a Shabbos goy, why do you have a heter of a Shabbos goy? Because Amir Eliakim is only the Rabbanon. Amir Eliakim is only the Rabbanon, but doesn't say chumash, Asasim kamalach adin chayitach avdamach, digercha asher bisharecha. What do you mean, gercha asher bisharecha? Does it go on a ger tzedek? So that's ato. The Torah speaks to all the Jewish people, including the gerim. So the ger tzedek is included in ato. When the pasuk talks about ger chavishav sharecha, it's talking about a ger toshav. What do you mean a ger toshav? You mean to tell me that a ger toshav has to observe Shabbos? Is that so? A ger toshav has to observe Shabbos? So that's a machlokes hatanoim increase on that testament. So the first tanoim worked with the premise, yes, a ger toshav who promised to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, whether he promises or not, all the goyim have to observe Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So what's added when he promises? He swears in a bezna, he promises in front of a bezna of three Jews, he's going to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs. All the goyim on three bank have a call to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei. So the first tanoim there in the sugya increases. The Avtesim and Alf are working with the assumption when he's mekabel the Sheva Mitzvahs, he has to observe them with all of the related dinim, with all the abdis rayas. So one time is of the opinion, a ger toshav says it's ger chashav shach. Ger toshav must observe Shabbos, because a Mechal Shabbos prefers his din of Kavod Avodah Zarah. And the Getoshev is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So a regular guy only has to be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. The Getoshev has to enhance his observance of all the Shev and Mitzvahs and Anach to observe them with all of their Avodah Zarah, with all the Dinim that are related. So the first opinion is that a Getoshev has to observe Shabbos, in order to enhance his observance of not worshiping Avodah Zarah. But he can't observe Shabbos like a Jew observes Shabbos, that's forbidden. So the first time is of the opinion that Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos like we would observe Yom Tov. That's permissible. Next time it says no. Ger Toshav is going to observe Shabbos like we observe Yom Tov. That will also be a violation of Akim Shabbos. Nochri Shabbos is Chayim Misa. So he must observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. And then the third time is of the opinion that doesn't solve the problem either. If the Ger Toshav will observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed, that will also be a violation of Nachri Shishavas is Chayim Misa. So he's not permitted to observe Shabbos at all. The third Tana is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Gemara says, Halachik Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. We don't permit the Ger Toshav to observe Shabbos at all, even Ki Yisrael B'chol HaMoed. The Avin Enezer has a beautiful tshuva where he explains what they're fighting about. Why the first Tana thinks that they should observe, the Ger Toshav should observe Shabbos the way we observe Yom Tov. The next Tana says that's not allowed. He should observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. And then we pass like the Shimon Bar Yochai, not even allowed to observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. So he explains that the pasuk says, "Beni ben Bnei Yisrael, ois li olam." The Shabbos is an ois only for the Jews, Beni ben Bnei Yisrael, and the goyim have no shaitan over here. The Zohar has the comment on that pasuk, "Beni ben Bnei Yisrael, ois li olam." So the Nochri Shabbos is Chayv Misa, and it gives the Moshal Ma'adav Adayma. The maid has the keys to all of the rooms in the palace. The maid has to clean up all over. So the maid is going to go into the bedroom when the king and the queen are together in bed. So the king is going to have a head taken off. There's a time to go into the room. When we're not having a good time in the bedroom, then you come in and you clean. You don't come in the middle when we're together, the king and the queen. So the Zohar says on the post, Shabbos only belongs to the Jewish people, and if the Nochri barges in and he's going to observe Shabbos like we observe Shabbos, his head is going to be off. He's going to be chaydis. So the Pasuk singles out Shabbos as something special between the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Machlokes HaTanaim is, what's a nois? Only Shabbos is a nois? Is Yom Tov also a nois? Maybe Chol HaMoed is also a nois. So that's the same Machlokes whether you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. So the Avin Ezer says, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that even Chol HaMoed is also a nois, that if the Ger Toshav will observe Shabbos where we observe Chol HaMoed, he'll also be Chayv Misa. So the Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbos like he saw b'chol. He has to do regular melacha. Why? So the Gemara says, "Halach Reb Shimon Bar Yochai." Misa Chol HaMoed is also nois. So he said the Gemara is saying the din is like the Zohar. The Zohar says you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed because Chol HaMoed is a nois. The Zohar was written by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says it corresponds to what it says in the Gemara. Halach Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Babli is basking that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Whatever. So the maskanas of Gemara is the Gemara has three different opinions in the Tanoim. So the first two Tanaim start off, the Ger Toshav should really enhance his observance of not worshipping Avodah Zarah by observing Shabbos, because Machal Shabbos Befrahesya will be Dina Kovid Avodah Zarah. So he should enhance his observance of not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the first view is the Ger Toshav should observe Shabbos like we observe Yom. Can't observe Shabbos like Shabbos, he'll be Chayv Nisa, Nachri Shishonah. So the second Tana says that's not allowed to observe Shabbos like Yom. The third Tana says not even allowed to observe Shabbos like Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says that's the pesach. So what do you do with the pasuk and naseres hadibros lasasaka malocha the ger hashem b'sharecha? It can't go on a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is after. It goes on a ger toshav. A ger toshav is permitted. He's obligated to do malocha. Kisrael b'chol. So the answer is Tosfos writes in Yevamos. The answer is amira le ger toshav is anisa derais. Amira le yakom is anisa derabonim. But if a Jew asks a ger toshav to do malocha for him, so that's a violation derais. Lasasaka malocha. Ato v'gercha shebisharecha, like ato v'hemtecha. What it means, behem is over an aveira, behem does malacha, behem is not a human being. Behemtecha means shvises behemto. The bala behemah, who's Jewish, has to see to it that his behem is not involved in malacha. So gercha shebisharecha means the Jew is not permitted to do amira li'akum to a ger toshav. That's an isa derais. And all the shuls all over Eretz Yisrael, they always did amira li'akum to a Muslim. So Rav Kook is going to come up with a chiddush that all the Muslims have the status of Ger Toshav, so you can't use them as a Shabbos guy. You can't say such a chiddush. They'll kill him. They'll stone him. They'll send him back to Europe. He doesn't want to lose his job. So he came up with a whole shtickle Torah. that the Muslim have a din of ger tosha with respect to the din of layesh of the arzacha pen yachti waitchali, but they don't have a din of ger tosha with respect to amir liakim being an isa deraisa and shabbos. That's abshepel. So that's what many were very upset. They say that the tshuva, I never looked at the tshuvas of Rav Kook. They say the tshuvas of Rav Kook are very classical, traditional style tshuvas. They write in the history books that the Chazon Ish used to encourage young Talmid HaChachamim to study Rav Kook's tshuvas. He thought they were very traditional, and they'll pick up the derech and psak halacha, except that the Chazon Ish didn't like his tshuvas about mitzvahs of Tlis Var. So this, I was told this is the people who studied his tshuvas. They say his tshuvas are very classical, traditional style tshuvas, and this is one of the most difficult, where he split between the status of Ger Toshav vis-a-vis Amir Liakim Shavuos on Shabbos and the status of Ger Toshav with respect to Lois HaChanim, selling the property in Eretz Yisrael. That's a questionable head. Okay. So this is the Kitzur. This is what the story. In the 1600s, they developed the Heta Mechira. They used to only rent to the goy, Lizman, for 2 years. In the late 1800s, when it became relevant again, so Rabbi Yochanan agreed. When they showed him the Chulis papers, he agreed. Rabbi Leizer tells her, wrote a letter to one of the Rabbanim, which was later published. I don't know if he would have realized the letter was going to be published. I don't know if he would have written a letter. But he writes, he thinks it was improper on the part of Rabbi Yochanan to give a psak for the farmers in Arizona without consulting all the other Rabbanim in Europe. Rabbi Yochanan didn't consult all the other Rabbanim when he wrote the other tshuvas, all the Heter Rabbanim, I mean, I didn't consult. So what did he feel so upset over here? He felt that it wasn't right. Rabbi Yochanan shouldn't have been mekel over here. Anyway, but bottom line, that was the kula, and even though the Badatz was opposed the first Shemitah, but the second Shemitah, they already told him to go ahead, and I think the third Shemitah, even the Mariel Diskin, the second Shemitah, the Badatz told the Moshav Maskeret Batya they should go to the Rav in Yafo. And the third Shemitah, even the Mariel Diskin told him, go to the Rav in Yafo, and he'll make you a Heter Mechira. And then Rav Kook became the Rav in Yafo, so it fell into his lap. He had to follow this. Yeah. So this is really a Kula, which is questionable. The Heter Mechira is questionable. So it's a Shas HaTzchak. So the Shas HaTzchak, the Gemara says, we often rely on a Shita Sayochit. So that's what they were making. The Shaila is, let's say a person is visiting Eretz Yisrael. So is it right that he should rely on Heter Mechira? So Rabbi Leishik used to say no. He said, a Jew who's only visiting, a Jew from America, it's not a Shas HaTzchak for him. So he really shouldn't rely on any kula. So what would be the kula? What's the kula ready? So if they invite me to do avodah on a kibbutz, they're going to tell me, help us plant the tree. It's a Tu B'Shvat, plant the tree. So plant the tree? That's the real McCoy, that's the real Issa. So a Jew who's visiting should not plant any tree. What do they do over there? That's the question. If the original Heter Mechira of Yitzchak Kohanim is only Mekel, they were only Mekel. If they have a non-Jew do the Avodah Sakar, they were Mekel to do Amir Liakim. Why? They were working on the assumption that if the Jew cultivates the land, that's the real Iser, and if a Jewish farmer asks a non-Jew to do the work for him on the farm, that lessens the Iser. That'll only be an Iser the Rabbanim to begin with. That'll only be an Iser like Amir Liakim is also on Shabbos with the Rabbanim, so Amir Liakim on the farm will only be an Iser the Rabbanim. There were those who disagreed with that assumption. They held that it's not true. Amir Liakim on Shabbos is only the Rabbanim because, bottom line, I didn't do the Malocha. Yes, non-Jew just flicked the switch for me. So he did the Malocha, he didn't do. Amir Liakim on Shemitah, the simple reading of the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zorah is that that's an Iser deraisa. That's like Shvisas Behemta, the Gemara compares it to. It says, I have a behemah, I'm very friendly with my non-Jewish next door neighbor. So sometimes I use his car, sometimes he uses my car. We get along very well. We gave permission already built in. So if the non-Jewish next door neighbor is going to use my behemoth to plow his farm on Shabbos, I have to go and say, please, you're not allowed to. Shvisas Behemta. That's my violation of Shvisas Behemta on my behemoth, even though he's doing it on his own. That's my violation of Shvisas Behemta. So the Gemara makes such a comparison and says that the Jew has a farm, and Eretz Yisrael has to see to it. It's a mitzvah that the Jewish owned farm, the Jewish person who owns a farm, should see to it that his farm is not cultivated. Not only should he not do Malachas HaKarka, he shouldn't permit anybody else to do any Malachas HaKarka on his farm. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that that's an Issa Deraita also. But these Gedolim were somehow assuming otherwise. They were assuming if you ask a non-Jew to do the Avodah HaKarka for you, that lowers the level of the Yisr. So they were only prepared to go so far, they made a Heter Mechira if the Avodah HaKarka will be done by Goyim. If Avodah HaKarka will be done by Jews, they didn't give the Heter Mechira yet. Lemaisa now in Eretz Yisrael, I think most of those who rely on Hetzer Mechira do not necessarily go out of their way all the time to get there. Many non-Jewish workers in Eretz Yisrael, they have a lot of from Thailand and so on, they have most of the work is done by people from Thailand. But on those farms where they do rely on Hetzer Mechira, they don't go out of their way to get a goy to do the Avodah Zakar. The Jewish people will also do the Avodah Zakar. So that clause in the Hetzer Mechira is not observed. When the Gedolim in the late 1800s came up with the Hetzer Mechira, they said it's only on the condition that all the Avodah Zakar will be done by non-Jews, and that's not really observed. So let's say if a Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael, so I shouldn't rely on Hetzer Mechira, so I shouldn't do any Avodah Zakar, fine. What if I just want to go shopping in a store? And they're selling food that's based on Hetzer Mechira. So what's the issue? What's the problem? So one problem is Mishumer. One of the dinim of Shemitah is he's supposed to make everything hefter. The pasuk says Vashvis Tishmatenu and Atashta, pasuk in Mishpatim. And they're not making everything hefker. They keep the fences up. They don't let anybody take any of the fares. And then they go and they sell it in the market and they make money. So the problem is it also to eat Mishumer? Fares that the owner of the farm locked the gate, he didn't let anybody take it. So the Rabbi Natam in the Tosis on the last daf in Yevamos, I think it's the last Tosis in Yevamos, the last Omer Aleph in Yevamos, has a one little Tosis where the Rabbi Natam translates, the Gemara talks about Shela Zikahen. Gemara has a funny word, we don't know what it means. The Rabbi Natam interprets like the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Vayaskei or Vayistakleu. Vayaskei means you put a fence around your farm and you protect the Paris that the stranger shouldn't come and ruin anything. So Shela Zika means in Ishnat HaShmita, if you lock the gate, so the Rabbi Natam claims that's what it says in the Gemara. If you lock the gates around the farm, you're not allowed to eat the pears that grow on the farm because you violated the din of Tishmatenu and Atashma. The year, if you hold that the whole Hetzer Mechira is a mistake, you hold that it doesn't work, so all the pears are all Meshumer. So according to Rabbi Natam, it's also Bachila, no one's allowed to eat it. So the Maisa, most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rabbi Natam. They hold that there is no such thing as Meshumer. They interpret the Gemara differently. Rabbi Natam interprets that that's what the Sitro says, Taraskan. So the other Rishonim said there is no such Sitro. They read the Sitro differently. There is no such thing as Meshumer. In the Chazanish Sefer, in the Sefer Chazanish, he writes Lahakal. We don't pass like the Rabbi Natam. You can eat Meshumer. The disciple of son, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, printed in his Sefer on the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is, he printed. He found a later letter that the Chazanish sent to some tzaddik that he thinks that it's kedai to be choshish for the Rabbi Natam. Okay, so tzaddikim, chassidim anshei ma'aseh. Okay, but mikra adin, we really pass the Meshumer as mutter. Then the other issue is nevad. There's a Mishnah in Shvi'is that says that if a farmer plants a tree in Shnas HaShmitah, we penalize him, we tell him you have to yank out the tree, you have to rip it out. So what if, so that's on the farmer. So the farmer's relying on Hetzer Mechira, he's not going to yank anything out. So he plants a tree, he plants vegetables, and they grow. Then he sells it in the store. So is there a din that there's a penalty you're not allowed to eat nevad, like on Shabbos? If someone cooks food, I'm a bashal the Shabbos, then there's a penalty, you're not allowed to eat it. Is there such a penalty over here that you're not allowed to eat the food that was planted the Yisr? So this is a machlokes HaRishonim, how to read the Gemara, how to read Mishnayos and Shvi'is. So the Ramban claims, Ramban is in the middle of Avodah Zarah, I think. So the Ramban and the Ritzvot, the Talmid Ramban, they claim that there is an Issa, there is a prohibition. You're not allowed to eat nevad. Whatever fruit, whatever vegetable, were planted be Issa, so not only is there a penalty, the farmer has to rip it out and destroy it, the customer is not allowed to eat it either. But the accepted opinion is not like the Ramban. Mikra Adin, we pass on that nevad is mutter. Chazon Ish right. Mikra Adin, nevad is mutter. Mikra Adin, Meshumer is mutter. Mikra Adin, nevad is mutter. So you're allowed to eat this. Furthermore, if there were a din, even if you should follow the Ramban, that there is a prohibition, you're not allowed to eat nevad, so it's like I'm a vashel b'Shabbos. If a Jew violates the mitzvah, a Jew turns on the light. If a goy turns on the light. Or the Jew cooks food, or the Jew makes a ramp, so you're not allowed to, a goy makes a ramp, you're not allowed to climb up on the ramp, to get on the boat, get off the boat, whatever. So this is a penalty of the Ramban, because Shabbos was violated. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Prima Godim, that this penalty only applies when it's a vaday iser Shabbos. What if there's an issue that's a machlokes haposkim? And we, the psak hamakubal is lechumer, but there are shittas a whole lekula. So this guy who did the malacha b'shabbos, he did wrong. He shouldn't have done it. But there are days a whole day is mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim that you don't have a penalty in this case. The only time there's a knas from the rabbanim that you're not allowed to be nenim on lechah shabbos is if lechala days it's a malacha. But if it's a machlokes, whether it's a malacha or not, so even though the accepted view by us is that it is aser. But you don't introduce a penalty here. Sof kosof, there are prominent poskim who do hold from the Hetzer Mechira. Others don't hold. They hold it's not right. Yeah, but you can't say that the farmer was absolutely in violation of the laws of Shemitah. Yishlam Yishay Yismoch. So that's why it's hard to say that there's a penalty of Nevanim. What is a problem is Tfichim. The Gemara has Tfichim. You're not allowed to eat vegetables that grow. Fruits that grow on a tree, says in the Pasuk that it's a mitzvah to eat. Or it says Shabbos Lachem Liochlo. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah considers that one of the Ramach Mitzvahs Aseh. The Rambam gives his listing of what he thinks are the Ramach Mitzvahs Aseh and the Shasam Mitzvahs Lesseh. So the Ramban deletes here and there. Ramban deletes about 17, 18 Mitzvahs Aseh and 17, 18 Mitzvahs Lesseh. Has to replace them with others in order to get to the number of 248. 365. So the Ramban, when he's adding on a couple of mitzvahs aseh, the end of the mitzvahs aseh, the hashmatas, the minyan ha-mitzvah, shemona ha-rambam, so he considers this one of the mitzvahs aseh, it's voice shabbos ha'atz lechem liochle, it's a mitzvah to eat perishmit. That's what some suggest, according to the Ramban, if they give you a banana or an orange that grew on a tree in Shnat HaShmito, so the question, just like on Pesach night, you say, ha-moytzi lech manorot, and then you say, ha-shei kadushanu b'mitzvahs of tzivan v'alachilos matzah. Or if a kohen needs truma, so the Rambam writes, let's say he's drinking wine of truma, or he's eating cookies that were made from truma flour. So the Rambam says, he says two brachas, bari minim mezainis, then he says, ha-shei k'dishan, b'k'dishan sa shalaron, v'tzivon v'alachidas truma. That's the last halacha in the Rambam hilchas truma, the very last page. So some suggest that going to this Rambam, maybe there are two brachas. You eat a banana, or you eat an orange, or an apple, like grun shan sa shmita. First you say, you bari pi to the bari pi adama, whatever the apple or the are. Or the banana is, then you say Hashem Kedushan Mitzvah Tzivano, Alachilas Perishmiz. The Ramban doesn't say explicitly say bracha, but the Pashtus says Manishtan, it's a mitzvah, the Gola mitzvah. We don't say a bracha lemaisa because the Rambam never counted it as a mitzvah. The Rambam counts all the dinim. Or it's Shabbat Tzivano, Lachem Liyachla, Liyachla Velo Leskora, Liyachla Velo Lemelugma, Liyachla Velo Lehefzid. He quotes dinim that Perishmiz have Kedusha, but he never writes that it's a mitzvah, I say to eat it. Maybe it just has l'hizoy b'kedushas terishvit. So l'maisa, no one's saying any bracha when you eat the terishvit, but it could be according to the Ramban that it's a mitzvah to eat the terish. So that Tosis points out in Psochim that Shabbos ha'atz lechem liyachol, it says the terish you can eat terishvit that goes on fruits that grow on a tree. But vegetables, a grain that grows on the ground that's normally planted every year, that's called tzichim, and that all the Tanoim agree in Aladi. But that's a machlokes hatanan, what's the nature of the prohibition of eating tzvichim. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that tzvichim, things that grow by themselves, vegetables or grain that grow on the ground, are an issa deraita. Even if it grows by itself, let alone if the farmer planted it and it grows, that's an issa deraita to eat. So we don't accept his opinion, we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion that tzvichim constitute an issa deraita. We pass that tzvichim is only an issa derabbanan. Why did the institute in the Issa de Rabbanan? Simple. every farmer's going to plant, he's going to make believe he's observing Shemitah, he's going to plant vegetables, then he'll eat everything. So we say, even if it's true that it grew by, and he's going to say he's innocent, it grew by itself. So we tell him, even if it's true that it grew by itself, we don't allow you to eat it. So the Mela, he's not going to gain anything by violating the din of Shemitah, because he's not allowed to eat it anyway. So that's what we assume. The Sichem is forbidden with the Rabbanan, it's not an Issa de Raisa. It's also in the Rabbanan to eat, even if it's true that the terrors grew on their own. So if you have a farmer who is relying on a Hetzer Mechira, so it should be a problem. Forget about Neva, forget about Meshumar. We paskin Meshumar is Mut, and Neva is Mut. What about Tzvicha? Tzvicha mi paskin is awesome. So the Rambam writes like this. Since the prohibition of Tzvicha is only in the Rabbanan, it's Gzeir Hashem, the farmer will violate the laws of Shemitah, he'll plant and he'll do all the Avodah Zakarka, and that'll make believe that it happened by itself, it grew by itself. So we make Gzeir Derabbanan, we don't even allow you to eat the vegetables, even if it's true that they grew by themselves. So the Rambam writes, they only introduced Gzeir Derabbanan if it's a Jewish farm. If the farm is owned by a non-Jew, then there's no Issa Tzvicha. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have farms that are owned by non-Jews. There are Arabs, there are Christian Arabs and Muslim Arabs who own farms in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no Issa Tzvicha. The question is, on a Jewish farm that was sold to a non-Jew, so the farm is owned by a non-Jew. The farm was sold to a non-Jew, so the farm is now owned by a non-Jew. We don't like the Etim Mechir means we think that it doesn't help. We don't say the Mechir doesn't take effect. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik said, the Mechir doesn't take effect. Yeah, but that's, I don't know if anybody accepts that. That's hard to believe. But we really agree the Mechira took effect. We say they did an Avera, maybe they did an Avera their ice of selling it. The Nesiv holds and the Chazon Ish holds they did an ice of selling the land. But the Maisa, once you sell it to the non-Jews, then the sale takes effect. So the Sichma growing and the Soda Shalakum, Alti Pashtus. So the Chazon Ish came up with a whopper of a Chumrah. He says, no. He thinks that it's a prohibition to sell, like the Nesiv. He thinks that they're in violation of a biblical prohibition, Loisuchanim, if you sell to a non-Jew. So he says, if the farmers would have sold directly to the non-Jew, the sale would be valid and they'd be in violation of the Aver of Loisuchanim. They don't sell directly. They appoint someone from the Rabbanut as a Shliach to sell for them. So the Chazon Ish writes with a straight face, Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera, and the sale is not valid. He says, the sale is not valid. The farm still belongs to the Jews. The sale never took effect in the first place. So this is very questionable. That's the Shaila Tosis in Bava Metzia Daf Yud Aleph. So Daf Yud talks about this. A Kohen sends a Shliach to make Mekadosh a Grusha for him. So you say, Ein Shaliach, the Gemara says, you say, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aver. Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aver means that the girl doesn't need a get. The whole Kiddushin is not Chal. But you say, no, the Kiddushin is Chal. But the Kohen doesn't get the Avera of marrying a Grusha. There's an Avera to be Mekadosh a Grusha, and then there's Avera to continue to live with the Grusha. Every time they're together, the Kohen gets Malkus for living with the Grusha. And when he marries the Grusha, that's also an Avera, to be Mekadosh the Grusha. When you say, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Avera, the Tesis has two opinions. One opinion is, you don't need a get. The Kiddushin doesn't take effect at all. That's what the Chazon Ish is assuming. It just doesn't take effect at all. And the other opinion, the way it's usually assumed, it doesn't mean that the Kiddushin doesn't take effect. The Kiddushin takes effect, but we say, the Avera doesn't relate to me. The Kohen doesn't get the Avera of having married a Grusha. This was a machloikis in the 1700s between the Nerdi Yehuda and Rabbi Tzala Hamburger. There was a Meister Shahoya. Happened that the girl was the niece of the Nerdi Yehuda. He doesn't write that information in the Tshuva. The niece of the Nerdi Yehuda was married to a guy. And after a couple of years, he decided he wants to get rid of this old hag and marry a young chick. So he wanted to give her a get, and she didn't want to accept it. So he can't give a get, Bal Korcha, there's a Chem Rabbi Gish. He was an edler guy, so he didn't want to force the get on her. So he got two hoodlums, he got two Jewish hoodlums. He wrote a get, and he gave it to the two gangsters, and he said, you stick the get in her pocket, and you just give her the get, Bal Korcha, and that's all. So they went ahead and they did it. So the Nerev Yehuda wrote a tshuva, that since it's an Avera, it first declares a Shaila. Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Avera, does it only apply to an Avera D'Oraisa or even to an Avera D'Rabban? So it says it's a discussion in the Mishnah Melech and the Rambam. Mishnah Melech quotes a Gemara in the middle of Bava Kama, Dafnun Beis or something. So the Gemara talks about sending a Shliach to dig a bor in the middle of it under Rishus Harav. So he assumes that that's an Issa D'Rabban. Mishnah Melech assumes that digging boris from one side of the street to the other, a tunnel under the Rishus Aram, that's only in the Rabbanon. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aver. So the Mishnah Melech establishes that's the klal, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aver, even applies when the Aver is the Rabbanon. So then the Nadi Yehuda writes, you're not allowed to give a get Bal Korcha. So what kind of an Aver is that? So the Chubas Aran says, that's an Aver that writes it, to give a get Bal Korcha. When you got married, you promised to honor, cherish, and treat her as a princess, as a queen. Then you give a get bar kocha. He says that's an aver of derais. And it's usually assumed. And what does the Rabbeinu Gershom have to say? He added a cherem. A cherem means a curse. You should drop dead. Marshall's cherem is a curse that's nichnas into the ramach evar. Because cherem is the same letters as ramach. It's a curse the guy should drop dead. And when he dies, we treat him as harugi bezin. That the children don't observe avelus. And you put a slab of stone on the oron. To demonstrate as if he deserved skill, as if he died from skill. So that's what the Ran holds, that the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom only added on a curse, but the Yisrael is always there. Like in Shulchan Aruch it says, there's a Chayim HaKadman and Shalol HaHakas HaSishtoi. Not to beat up you. I mean, until the days, the Ramah quotes in Ebenezer, I mean, until the days of the Kadmanim, it was okay. It was a mitzvah to beat up your wife. Then the Kadmanim came up with a new Yisrael. No, the Yisrael was always present. You're not allowed to beat up your wife. But they added a cherem, they added a curse in order that the people should take it more seriously. So that's how the Ran holds, that the prohibition against giving a get bal korcha is an issa deraisa, and the Rabbeinu Gershom only added on a curse, like reading someone else's mail. That's an issa deraisa. You're not allowed to barge in on his privacy, you're not allowed to violate his right to privacy. The Rabbeinu Gershom added on a cherem, a curse for whoever violates this issa deraisa. And it's usually assumed, not so, it's usually assumed that the issa to be Megarish Bal Korcha, the Beis Yosef talks about this. So we assume the Issa to be Megarish Bal Korcha is only an Issa de Rabbanon. So So now the Yehuda says, well, it does make a difference. Even if you hold the Issa to the Megarish Balkarcha, it's only an Issa the Rabbanon, we follow the Mishnah Malach, you still say, Ein Shaliach Udvarveh. So the Nadi Yehuda wrote, it's very shrouded in mystery, this Tshuva Nadi Yehuda. He doesn't write that it's his niece. And he wrote the Tshuva 16 years after the get was given. So the whole story doesn't make sense. What did he write the Tshuva then? What motivated him to write the Tshuva then? Every Tshuva has a date on. They wrote a tshuva that the get was not valid, and he's still married to the wife, the husband, and he's still mechuyev to give mezainis to the wife. And Rabbi Tzela Hamburger disagreed, and he said, no, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira doesn't mean that the get is not chal. The get is chal, but he doesn't get the aveira of giving the get bal karchai, like the other opinion in Tosfos. So this is a machlekes, which is the opinion, what should we assume is the das rov haposkim. So this is a diyun in achrayim. The Nesivis writes in one place that the Das Rabba Poskim is that the Kiddushin is Chal by the Kohen and the Get is Chal, just that the Avera doesn't relate back. And the Chazanish claims, Faket, that the Das Rabba Poskim is that the whole thing is not Chal. Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that he said on this Nadi Bihuda. The Nadi Bihuda said that the husband who gave the Get Bal Korcha, the Shliach, that he's no longer married to the wife. Nadi Bihuda said he is married and still has to give mezainah. So he said, Rav Chaim said, Al pi Yosher is the Nadi Bihuda is gerecht. Yosher dictates, so he said, but he said, Al pi Halacha is an ish gerecht. He said, Al pi Halacha, he saw Rav Tzela Hamburger, who disagreed was correct. You have in the Tshuva's Nadi Bihuda, he prints the letter that Rav Tzela Hamburger responded to him, disagreeing with him. That he holds that that's not included in Ein Shaliach Udvarveh. So this is what the Chazanish came up with such an idea. Chazanish thinks like the Nitziv, that you're in violation of an aver deraisa of loisachanim, selling the field to the non-Jew. He doesn't go for this boris lahokel that it's only temporary, and he's a ger toishov, and it's l'toivoseinu, it's not l'toivosanoch. He doesn't think that these are valid heter. And then he jumps a step further and he says that since the mechira is not done in person by the farmers, they appoint the shliach to sell for them from the rabbanut. So we apply ein shaliach l'aver, so the whole sale is not valid. So you're not allowed to eat the pears. They're all svichim. Everything is svichim. All the vegetables. If you have other things, there's no svichim. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. Even those who hold that it's improper to do the mechira, say the mechira is, the sale is valid. They don't go so far like the Chazanish. They say the whole mechira is not valid. They say the sale is valid. So bottom line, it's svichim mishalakum. So the Rambam writes that svichim that grow mishalakum is muta. I is mishumer. So we pass the Meshumer as Mutter. I is never, so we pass the never as Mutter. So the person that Shlomo Zalman has in his Sefer, and they reprinted now his instructions about Shemitah, and the last issue of Hamayan, the Poele Aguda has a publication, Hamayan, which was not taken over by Yeshivat, Yeshivat Shalavim or Kibbut Shalavim?
I think it's
Yeshiva. Because the Kibbut Shalavim was founded by Poele Aguda. So the Yeshiva took over, the Yeshivat Shalavim took over the journal. The Torah journal. So in the last one that came out, Rosh Hashanah time, they have a couple of pages. Someone wrote up a couple of pages. I wrote some psukim from Shlomo Zalman regarding Shnas HaShemitah. So this is one of them. The Shaila was the Bachar in Yeshiva wants to be observant. He doesn't want to rely on the Kulas, on the Shumer, and on Neva. Then when he comes home, so the parents are reading regular Rabbanut, Hashgacha, they're reading regular. Or a person comes from Chutz Loretz and he wants to visit his relatives, and then he's going to be so touchy. You're going to tell him, I don't want to eat this, I don't want to eat that. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's not right to hurt your parents' feelings. It's not right to hurt your relatives' feelings. The Ikarad, then all the stuff is muta. It's a shayla on the farmers. Maybe they'll burn Gehenna. Maybe they're doing wrong. But as far as you're concerned, everything, strictly speaking, is muta. The sale took effect. The Sicha Mishalakam is muta. Mishumar is muta. Nebet is muta. So you're not in violation of anything. Shaila is for the estrog that you buy after Shnas HaShemitah is over. For the estrog from Shnas Topshin Samach Tev, which is going to have Kedusha's Perishvi, it's a grew during the Shnas HaShemitah. So there are those who don't want to use the estrog because the Gemara says, if you, let's say those in America, we don't have a Shas HaTchak, so you can get an estrog from another location. So you don't have to buy a estrog for those who locked up their fields and didn't make it Hefker. So there's a shayla, if you want to be choshish for the Rabbi Natam, that Mishumar is Osir, so the estrog that grew in his pardes, but they locked it, they didn't let anybody take estrogim, so maybe those estrogim should be Mishumar the Rosa Bachiva. And the Gemara says that an estrog is only good for the mitzvahs, Yeshva Heter Achila. If you have an estrog, Shema Heter Achila, so you're not allowed to use that estrog for the mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik and Moshe Feinstein both said the same thing, that there's nothing to be choshish for. First of all, Rav HaPosim don't hold like the Rabbi Natan. called Mishumer is mutin. Even if one wants to be machmed, that Mishumer is aser, that's not called Eima Heter Achila. Eima Heter Achila means an Esrik Shel Tevel, an Esrik Shel Orla. So it's Macholas Hasuris. The thing is Eima Heter Achila. It's called Pri Eitzodas. And the fact that the Torah uses the Loshen Pri means that it has to be Yeshba Heter Achila. But Mishumer is aser, if you hold like the Rabbi Natan, Mishumer is aser, doesn't mean that it's an Isa Macholas Hasuris. It means just like the former is in violation of the mitzvah of Shemitah by locking, by keeping the gates locked. He's supposed to be Yashviz Tishman Ten and Natashti. He's supposed to open it up to the public. So if I'm going to eat the teres that grew in a soda that's Meshumer, and I eat it, it's as if I'm locking the gate. Because it's not for the fact that he locked the gate, I wouldn't have these teres to eat. So I'm an accomplice to his crime. So when I'll eat the estrig, it's considered a continuation of locking the gate. But the estrig per se is mutter. You're not allowed to lock the gate. It's an avera. If you leave the estrig, it's considered as if you're still locking the gate. So you already plucked off the estrig from the tree. It's a hemshach and the yisur of not being machmir. But that's not called eima heter achila. Eima heter achila means that it's macholas asur. It's not called a pri. This is called a pri. There's another issue. If one wants to be choshesh, that the mechira didn't take effect, then the estrogim that grow have a kedushas peres shvi'is on them. The din is that all the peres that grow during Shnas HaShmita in Eretz Yisrael have a kedushas peres shvi'is with respect to what? So the pasuk says, "Voice of Shabbos Arutz Lachem Liyokla." The Ramban claims in the Sefer Mitzvot that's a mitzvah sasei. Possibly you say a bracha on it, that it's a mitzvah sasei to eat the fruits that grow on the tree. The tzvichim, it doesn't go on the tzvichim, on the vegetables and the grains, but it goes on the fruits that grow on the tree. So either it's a mitzvah sasei, or it's only a lav abo mechlal sasei, that liyochla v'lola hefzu, that you're not allowed to waste the perish. So let's say you have fruits or vegetables, whatever, that really have kedushas perish v'yis, so eat a half an apple, you're not hungry, so you leave it over. Or you eat a half a sandwich, to have a cake or cookies or a bread that was made from flour that grew during Shnas HaShmita, you eat a half a sandwich and leave over the rest. So all year long, it's an issue of Bal Tashchis. So Bal Tashchis, the gufa is Mohammed and Bal Tashchis on the food. I'm stuffed already, I don't want to eat anymore. So there's no violation of Bal Tashchis, I leave. So what are you going to do? So you should really take the leftovers, put it in the refrigerator. Yeah, all year long. What are you going to do? Put it in the refrigerator. And tomorrow I'm going to eat up the leftovers. I'm not going to eat the leftovers. I'm going to eat a new sandwich. So bottom line, no one's going to eat it. So we throw it out. So we say there's no Bal Tashchis because no one's going to eat it. When it comes to Shnas HaShmita, so the dinim become more serious because the pasuk says, "Voice of Shabbos Arutz Lachem Liyachla, Liyachla v'lo lehefzit." So Tosfos writes in Perikei to Mevarchim, even in a situation where you're not in violation of Bal Tashchis, I ate a half an apple and I don't want to eat the rest of the apple. I ate a half of the cookies and a half of the sandwich. I don't want to eat the rest. So there's no Bal Tashchis because of the circumstance, but still you're not allowed to throw it out because Liyachla v'lo lehefzit. So what do? So you save it in the shviyas bag. Special bins or special plastic bags in Eretz Yisrael. If you have Paris, they have a Kedushas Paris Shvi'is. You're not allowed to waste them. So whatever is left over, you leave in the bag till it becomes Nifson Me'achila. Once it becomes Nifson Me'achila, then it no longer has a Kedushas Paris Shvi'is. Then you can throw it in the regular garbage. So the Shaila is, let's say the Esrogim that we're going to buy, and they're going to rely on Hetzer, the farmers will rely on Hetzer Me'achila, so they sold their land to a Goy. So do they have Kedushas Paris Shvi'is or not? So that was a big machlokes in the 1500s between the Beis Yosef and the Maharit was the son of the Maharit. So the Maharit was a member of the Beis Yosef's Bezdin and Tzfat, but they had quite a few disagreements. So one of the famous disagreements was about the mitzvah Hashvi'is Tishmitena Unetashta. So the Beis Yosef was of the opinion that the peres that grow during Shemitah do not become hefker automatically. It's a mitzvah on a farmer to be mafkir the peres. But kol zman is not mafkir, they don't become hefker. So mele, if the peres grew on the farm of an anju, then anju doesn't have a mitzvah to be mafkir them. So they do not become hefker automatically. Then the Beis Yosef further holds that the din, that peres shvi'is are pater from afrashas, trumas, and maestris, is because they're hefker. But what if it grew on a non-Jew's farm and he's not mafkirit? It's not from the Shevet Mitzvah's Beninur. So the non-Jew is not going to be mafkirit. So those peres that grew on a non-Jew's farm, you have to be mafrish, trumas and maisers. So the Shevet is, what are you mafrish? So truma gedoyla maiser rishon is no problem. What are you mafrish after maiser rishon? It's not a maiser sheni year, it's not a maiser rani year. So what are you supposed to be mafrish? Others argue there's no trumas and mitzvahs on peres agrosh nasa shmita, because the halacha says asiyat ha'atzus kol tovar zarach yetzah sadu shana shana. Every year you have a din. The first year you mafrish to magdala ma'isirish ma'isishen. The second year the same. You're not allowed to be mafrish from the first year and the second year and the first. Every year has a separate din. The third year you mafrish to magdala ma'isirish ma'isirani. Fourth year and the fifth year is repeated the first and the second year, and the sixth year, seventh year there's no din. So there's no din. So you're not mafrish, not because it's hefka, but that's not the accepted opinion. That's in the yeshivas they argue. I love the shazon, but the accepted opinion is the way the Beis Yosef said halacha lemaisa. That the Peres Shviyas are part of Trumas and Maisers if you were mafkirim. If it grew on an Angelus farm, you were not mafkirim. So it'll be chayiv in Hafrashas Trumas and Maisers. And the shayla is, what are you mafrish? It's not the third or the sixth year you mafrish Maiser Rani. It's not the first, second, or fourth, or fifth year that you should be mafrish Maiser Sheni. So what are you supposed to be mafrish? Some are of the opinion that Mi'ikir Adin, you're always mafrish Maiser Sheni after Maiser Rishon. Unless it's the third or the sixth year, then you substitute Ma'aser Shani. This is a miscellaneous year, Shmita, there's no special din. They go according to the basic din. The basic din is that you mafrish Ma'aser Shani, unless it's an exception to the rule. Others say no. Many person say no, that you have to be mafrish Ma'aser Rani. Because the Gemara says, Habe krachim kof sholim mitzayim, la kof sholim bovel behi nichum, when the Kaddish Eretz Yisrael, beginning of the Ba'aser Shani, so they, on purpose, for political reasons, they were not Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael that was under their control. They left out big chunks of Eretz Yisrael because there was always a problem with Shemitah. Pre-Shemitah was always a problem. By Shemitah, Shemitah was a problem. That's why there was a Churban, because the farmers didn't observe Shemitah. By Sheni, they knew in advance it's going to be a headache with the Shemitah. So they specifically left out areas within Eretz Yisrael that should be exempt from the laws of Shemitah v'Yinichum. They left them out, Kedei Sheyismuchu Aleihem Aniyim v'Shviyim. That the Aniyim should be able to get matnas anim. So many say that it means the mafrish ma'aser ani. It's a beferish gemara, mafrish ma'aser ani. So that's a big debate in Eretz Yisrael. When you buy produce that grew by the Arabs, and the halacha says according to the Beis Yosef, the Maharit disagrees with the Beis Yosef. He says it becomes hefker automatically. That's why if you ask any yeshiva bacha, I think they'll intuitively say like the Maharit, whatever grows in shnas hashmita is hefker. So that's not the accepted opinion. We pass them like that. They say, whatever grows is not hefker. A Jewish farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkerit. A non-Jewish farmer does not have a mitzvah to be mafkerit. So it does not become hefker automatically. It does not become hefker. So then it's not mother from Trumas and Maisers. So you have to be mafrish. So what are you mafrish after them? Trumagdol and Maiser Rishon? That's a big hassle. So some recommend you should be mafrish. Say, this is either Maiser Sheni or Maiser Rani. This is Maiser Sheni. I'm hereby poided. Shine. If it's Maiser Rani, you give it to Anani, or whatever you do with Maiser Rani on a third year or a sixth year. So that's an issue, what do you do? But over here, coming back over here, if I buy a Sreigen, if the Pardes was owned by, if they sold it to a non-Jew, so we assume that it doesn't become Hefker automatically. It does not become Hefker automatically. So now the shaila is whether the peres that grow during Shnas HaShemitah on a non-Jewish farm have a kedushas peres shviyas. So they have the dinam of liyachla v'lo lehepsid, liyachla v'lo lehepsid, etc. So this was another machlokes, the Beis Yosef of the Madbid. The one machlokes was whether the peres become hefker automatically of kaita de malko using the lashon haGemara, or no, it's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafke. And the other big machlokes was whether peres shviyas that grow besod the shalakum, do they still have Kedushas Peres Shviyas? How do you say no? So the Beis Yosef quoted a passage in the Torah Kohanim that whatever grows B'Shalakim does not have Kedushas Peres Shviyas. And the Maharit disagreed with him. He held that it does have Kedushas Peres Shviyas. A big machlekes. So the Beis Yosef writes in his Tshuvas in Nachas Reichel that this was a big rift between the two of them. And the Rabbanim and Tzfas got together and they voted like the Beis Yosef. And they made a cherem. No one is allowed to be machma like the Maharit. The din is like the Beis Yosef, whatever grows b'shalakum does not have kedushas peres shviyas. So this is a big shaila. Let's say you buy yevul nachri, you buy peres that grew on an Arab farm. A lot of times in Eretz Yisrael, when they have an Arab delivering stuff, it didn't grow on his farm. He bought it from a Jewish farmer who relied on the mechira. So the whole thing is a fake. So we're not talking about that. We're talking, you buy peres that grew for sure, yevul nachri grew on an Arab farm. Christian Arab, or Magmar, doesn't make a difference. It grew on an Arab farm. Does it have Kedushas Beis Shmita? So all over Eretz Yisrael, they followed the Beis Yosef because they made a cherem. You're not allowed to follow the Maharit. The Chazanish insisted that the Maharit was greater than the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef misread the Toras Kohanim, and the din is like the Maharit. And whenever there's a machloek with Maharit and Beis Yosef, you have to follow Maharit. So the Chazanish had such a big hashpah on Bnei Brak and the surrounding areas that there they followed the Maharit. There they observed Kedushas Beis Shmita, even on Peretz that grew Yevul Nochri. So it'll happen after Kamino. Let's say you'll buy some Peretz that grew Shnas HaShmita, Yevul Nochri, and you're going to leave something over. You have a vegetable salad, then you're stuffed. You don't want to eat the rest. Are you allowed to throw it out in the garbage, or do you have to treat it like Peretz Shmita? So most Eretz Yisrael, they're Mekel, and then around Bnei Brak, they're Machmer. Even Shlomo Zalman, they're having this essay in Hamayan. Shlomo Zalman in the yeshiva wanted to accommodate those Talmidim who wanted to be Machmer. He used to buy Yevul Nochri in Kol Torah, and the yeshiva assumed that there's no Kedushas Perishim. But those Talmidim who wanted to be Machmer said they had a sack for Shemitah Peres, so those wanted to be Machmer, not to throw it out. So they were they could be Machmer. So the Shaila is, let's say, I buy an Esrog from a Pardes that grew B'shus HaNochri. They sold it to a non-Jew. Does the Esrog have Kedushas Peres Shvi'is or not? So according to the Beis Yosef, it doesn't have any Kedushas Peres Shvi'is, and according to the Maharit, it would have Kedushas Peres Shvi'is. The one Nachkemina that Negev to us is, one of the dinim of Kedushas Peres Shvi'is is that it's Tofeses Domeho. If I sell Chazer and I get paid money for it, the money is, I can use the money for whatever I want. The Chazer was Mutabano also, it's only also Ba'adilah. What if I sell Basa B'cholos? So Basa B'cholos you're not allowed to sell because it's Asa B'anah by taking the money getting Anah. What if I sold the Basa B'cholos and I got paid money? So it's not Tayfiz Dhamma. The din is that the money is Mut. So the Mishnah has in Kiddushin. A man has Yisuri Hanah and he's Orlo or something that's Asa B'anah and he sells and he gets money. And he's Mekadosh and Isha with the money. So the Kiddushin is Chal because no Yisuri Hanah Tayfiz Mut. Except for Perishvius. If you sell Perishvius, and you sell Paris that have a Kedushas Peres Shvi'is. It grew on a farm in Eretz Yisrael. If it grew on a non-Jewish farm, then it's going to be the Machlekes that they say is in the Marit, but it has Kedushas Peres Shvi'is. But if you have Paris that clearly have a Kedushas Peres Shvi'is and you sell them, so the money that's given becomes Kaddish with Kedushas Peres Shvi'is. What does that mean? What, do you have to eat the money? And say, bro, Sheikh Shem says, Al Achilas Peres Shvi'is. You can't eat the money. No, you have to buy food with the money and eat the food with Kedushas Peres Shvi'is. What do you mean with Kedushas Peres Shvi'is? Eat it. You have to eat it before the Shat HaBiur. That's another din. That's a question whether that's a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. The Ramban and Chumash thinks that maybe it's only a din derabbanan. Another say Beferish, it's a din deraisa. Every fruit or vegetable has a Shat HaBiur in the eighth year. When it's no longer available on the farm, so then you're not allowed to continue eating what you have in the house. When it's kolal lachaim and asar, then the din is kalel behem tochav and abayis. Based on the pasuk, it says lachol behem tochav lachayu asher beratzecha tiyek kol tu asal lechol. So the Gemara darshins the pasuk. Either it's an asmachta. The Ramban says there is a real drasha gemur deraisa. Others hold. Kolzman that the behemah has, if there are still carrots on the farm, on the field that are available for the animals to eat, you can eat the carrots that you have at home. And when it's called lechayim and asad, then it's kalei lebeim tocham and arbayis. And Eretz Yisrael, they're going to print lists of different shas habir: potatoes, tomatoes, oranges, apples, pears. Every fruit and vegetable has a different shas habir. And after the shas habir, you're not allowed to eat whatever you have. So if I bought an esrog that has a kedushas peres shvi'is, if it grew b'shalakum, so the Beis Yosef claims that it does not have a kedushas peres shvi'is. If it grew b'shal Yisrael and the Jew didn't sell his pardes to a non-Jew, then it will have a kedushas peres shvi'is. So if I'll buy an esrog that has kedushas peres shvi'is, so whatever money I'll pay will be nitfas the kedushas peres shvi'is. The one who buys it, let's say according to the Chazanish, that when you sell a pardes to the non-Jew, I de shliach, so ain't shliach d'arver, so the whole sale doesn't take effect. So if one is concerned about the Chazanish and the pardes was sold to a non-Jew, So then, according to the Chazanish, the Peres will still have Kedushas Peres. He holds, even if it did belong to a Goy, the Chazanish holds like the Ma'arit, that this Kedushas Peres should be taken B'shalakum. But if you follow the Beis Yosef on that, but you be choshish for the Chazanish, that when you sell to the Goy, ancient little Barbera, so the sale doesn't take effect. It still belongs to the Jew. So if you're really concerned that the Esrog you're going to buy is going to have Kedushas Beis Shittas, but then you're going to have a problem when you pay your $60 for the Esrog. So the guy gets the money, he's going to put it in the bank. He's not going to take this money to buy food and make the food before the Shatzah to you. He's going to put it in the bank and buy furniture. He's going to make an investment. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is have it in. You're not allowed to be moistened. The Mei Peir Shvi is to Namaret. So it's not going to observe the Dinah Mashvi. So Mistama, the truth of the matter is, the merchant who's selling the Estrogan is relying on those who hold from the Hetz Mechir. The Chazanish holds that the sale is not valid. But the others hold the sale is valid. And they hold there is no Kedushas Peir Shvi is Bishalakum. So what he's doing is Hetz Gomer. So it's the Shiloh Lishnehiver. If I'm going to buy an Estrog from the merchant and he's relying on the Hetz Mechir, and he holds that there's no issue, there's no Kedushas Peir Shvi is, the money is not tasted, the money is not for the Kedushas Peir Shvi. So is there an issue with the Hever? If he's doing something which is Mutav HaMachlokes, and he's relying on the Mekilim. So traditionally it's assumed that that's not a problem. Shaul HaMelech has a tshuva about that. That there's a Machlokes, he talks about smoking on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to smoke it to Malacha. But Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to do Malacha. So is it prohibited to smoke a cigar on Tisha B'Av? So let's say the machlek. So let's say I hold the tzatzer and the other guy asks me for a cigar. He follows the shita samikim. So am I in violation of lifnei iver l'shita michshol? Because I hold that you're not allowed to smoke cigars on Tisha B'Av. So the Shaul HaMelech has a famous psak that says no lifnei iver. Whenever something is a machlekes and they're a legitimate poskim to say mutter, so if I'm going to give him a cigar, there's no issur lifnei iver. So the pashtus over here also, the one who's selling, the merchant who's selling the esrogin, he's relying on the Hetz Mechira, that it's Shalakum, there's no Kedushas Peir Shvi, it's not Tefes Doma, so he's allowed to put the money in the bank account. I want to be Machmer, but I'm not in violation of this either if he wants to follow the Shitas HaMekilim. So the Pashtus says that there's no problem. But then, the Netziv writes, he was concerned, I don't know exactly what this, the Netshulis of the Netziv, somehow he was concerned that there's going to be Tefes Doma, so he asked the merchant, he should sell him the Estrog. He insisted on buying an Estrog Shal Shvi'ah. And he knew that they hadn't sold it to a Goy. I don't know what the Echatim said. He knew that they hadn't sold that Pardes to a Goy, so it had Kedushas Peir Shvi'ah. So he didn't want to violate the din of giving Mois Kedushas Peir Shvi'ah to this person. He's not gonna buy other food. So he asked the merchant to sell him the Estrog, do me a favor, I'll pay you after Sukkot is over. Sell it to me now. It should belong to me now. And on credit, and I'll pay you after Sukkot. After Sukkot was over, he quickly cooked the Estrog and ate it up, and then he paid money. So he said, this is based on the Gemara, the beginning of the last parak in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says, Peir Shvi'is HaTefs in the name is only if it's Zet Tachazeh. If the Peir Shvi'is are still here, I buy Peir Shvi'is and I give you money. But if I buy Peir Shvi'is and I eat them up, and then I pay you the money later, so there is no Zet Tachazeh, so the Kedusha that was on the Peir Shvi'is is not going to transfer onto the money, the Peir Shvi'is are gone already, gone and forgotten. So that's what the Netziv writes. He bought his Estrog on credit. If the Estrog has Kedushas Peir Shvi'ah, so he's concerned you're not allowed to pay money because the one who's going to take the money is going to put it in a bank account. He's not going to treat it with Kedushas Peir Shvi'ah. He's not going to buy food and eat it before the Shas Abir. So he says he bought it on credit and he paid after he ate it up. A quote from the Chazon Ish that if you have a checking account, you can solve the problem very easily. There is no Zet Tachazeh. I take an Estrog, which is a real object, then I give him a check. What's that check? A check is a shtar you can draw against my account. And what's in my account? I can draw against YU's account. And what's YU's account? We can draw against Mr. Bentheim's account, who gives money. And what does Mr. Bentheim have? He can draw against the account of the people who bought merchandise. And what is their account? They can draw against all. So the whole thing is all in the luft. There is no Zet Tachazeh. Zet Tachazeh is like, he gives me an answer, and I give him a pile of money. So the pile of money is Nitzvah's Bikdusha's Beir Shvi'ah. But if he paid by check, there's never any Zet Tachazeh. So that's what the Chazon Ish said. Yes. The Netziv obviously doesn't have a checking account. He didn't have so much money. What's he going to have a checking account? So he had to ask the merchant, trust me till after Sukkot, I'll pay after I eat it up. So once he ate it up, he quotes the Gemara, that it's not Zet Tachazeh. But if you have a checking account, so Bechlal, there's no problem. Okay. These are some of the issues involved in Shnas HaShmita. There's much more. There's Oitza Bezin. Oitza Bezin is another story. Yeah.
So the proportions are changing in terms of like where rules apply to those. So could it be that like at some point in the future, say like they project that within the next 50 years or something like that, that rule apply to will be in Eretz Yisrael? Would that make Shemitah Lema for Eretz Yisrael or something like that?
Not l'mafre, I mean at that point when the majority of the world Jewish population will be located in Eretz Yisrael, will it be Shemitah Deraisa, and then the whole Hetta Mechira, there won't be what to discuss. The Gemara, that daf in Eretz and Alam, based on the basis of the Gemara Darshan from the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell, across the Mizrach Baretz, L'chol Yashev, is a bunch of Kol Yishvei Aleh, so the Gemara has the next line. Yochel, all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, but they're all Merovim Zeh Bazeh. Yochel, that the laws of Yovel will apply? No. After Reuben should live in Eretz Reuben, and Shimon, and Levi, and Yehuda, everybody should know who's who. They should live in different sections. So I don't know if the Gemara just means the first time around, the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, or even today. Maybe the Gemara says that even today, if you have the majority of the world Jewish population will be in Eretz Yisrael, but there won't be, we won't recognize who belongs to what Shevet. The Levim know that they're Levim. The Kohanim know that they're from Shevet Levi. The Chalaps are from the Malchus Beis David, so they know they're from Shevet Yehuda. Okay, so Levechik Salavim, good. So the Babaji Rebbe claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. Fine. So he's from Shevet Yehuda. Okay. But everybody else doesn't know. The Bnei Yisoscha. His Rebbe told him he was from Shevet Yisoscha. Sure. So he knows from Shevet Yisoscha. But no one knows who anybody else is. So the simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply that that's not enough. You have to have Kol Yisrael Lea. Everyone should know who they are and which Shevet is which. So we're still okay. Okay. Very good.